as a believer. And so it goes on, it says this, "For if God, who commanded the light of Christ to shine in the midst of darkness, he has shown in our hearts to give us light of the knowing of his glory in the face of Jesus Christ." So in the midst of the darkness and the gross darkness, and the enemy is blinding people from the truth, he shines his bright light on us, and we should be operating in the truth. And in this truth, that's the abundant life that was promised in John 10:10 that Jesus said, "I came to do, give you life, life more abundantly." That's tremendous. So we realize there's a God of this world. So he's given us the tool. He told us in the Gospels, "I'm giving you the keys. When I go to heaven, I'm going to go to hell, win the keys, going to go to heaven. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Believers, whatever you bind on earth is going to be what? Bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is going to be loosed in heaven." So if the God of this world, number one, is blinding people so they're not seeing clearly, or let me share something that maybe you haven't heard me share. CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network, gave this stats out a while ago, and they said 95% of the news media are atheists, and they are not the ones you should be following or listening to or believing. And you've heard me say before, I'm not a Republican, a Democrat. I'm for what's right. And for what's right is we discern what does the Scripture say, and we vote for people that walk the best after the word of the living God. And if we've got candidates that are protecting the most innocent in the womb, we need to make that a priority. Those babies are lives because God knew them before he placed them in the womb. And there is an outright onslaught by blinding to make us look, oh, this and that. We come up with all these things. I'm telling you, the God of this world, we got authority, church. What we've been doing every day, we have prayer every day from 12 to 1. If you call in prayer requests, it gets hit, and we cover it. But every day we've been doing this. We've been praying that the God of this world in this region that we have authority over, every Christian has their own areas, and we're binding. We're binding his influence. Number one, upon the church of the living God. Why? Because I know inside all my believing brothers and sisters, they've got the Spirit of the living God called the Holy Ghost. And they can hear from God. If we can bind the God that's filtrating and they're listening to the wrong stations, that all they want to do is beat up what's right and deceive and so forth, we have to be children of transparency and get into the Word of God. And what saith it? And stand, and having done all we still stand. God has not changed. I don't care if there's a movement out there to change. God is the same today as he was yesterday, and tomorrow he'll be the same. He's not forsaken any, and he wants the church to take authority. So number one, we've got an enemy called the God of this world. And here's just this big of enemy. Go to James chapter 1, and this is what the Bible says. Believers, I'm in verse 2, count it all joy when you go through various trials. Any believers in here ever go through some trials? I always like new Christians. Oh, I thought I'd have an easy life now that I received Jesus. No, you've entered warfare. Buckle up. That's why you need to get planted with other believers. Keep you encouraged. There's a testing. Knowing that the testing of your faith is going to work some patience. Anybody need some patience? Lord, keep working on us. We need the patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Wow, that sounds good. If we lack, ask the Lord, and he'll give wisdom to us. Amen? Jump down to verse 8. Well, let's go back to 6, because set the stage. Ask in faith. Yours may say, ask in believing what the Word says, with no doubting. You that doubt will end up being tossed to and fro. Do you think there's many Christians being tossed to and fro? They're listening to every wind of doctrine. Oh, that makes sense. I feel sorry for someone. So it's not a feeling sorry. We love humanity. But you don't forsake what's right.
Yeah, that's good.
And it says this, let not that man suppose that he's going to receive anything if he's all over the place. And this is the key I'm looking at. If you are double-minded, you become unstable in all your ways. Say all your ways. all your ways become unstable, when we become double-minded, well, I'm partially in, well, I'm not in. I want to be all in, Pastor. My question was, what's keeping you from getting all in? What's keeping us from just playing on the outskirts? I'll tell you what. There's a hurricane coming. I was researching and studying something this week that just phenomenally blessed me. And, you know, we know technology has improved and so forth. But this is going to make you get excited. You know why? Because we do our part, but God's got the big part. Do you know how they forecast hurricanes? Do you know how they know when hurricanes are going to be so tremendous? I mean, even before they become levels, and we know the one that hit Mexico Beach was 4 and 5, 150, 60 mile an hour sustained winds. This is what happens. They measure the temperature in the atmosphere. Scientists do. And when it's very, very low, they know violent air is coming because the air is so non-violent. Now listen, nature rushes to fill that vacuum. In other words, God created nature to neutralize major storms and no storms and to fill the vacuum. Are you still with me? There's a storm coming. And there is such a low, non-violent atmosphere in church life. I've never seen, we're worrying about the millennials. They don't want nothing to do. And what little they do, maybe if you sing the right song to them, or maybe if you have the pretty picture they want to see or whatever. And we're all concerned. How are we going to reach the millennials? They seem to be low pressure. And some of you parents, you're praying all my kids at one time, and they just don't want anything to do with church life. And then we look at adults, oh, I got hurt in church, so I don't want anything to do with church. I'm telling you, the barometric pressure on spirituality is very, very low. The reason why I stand and tell you there's a mighty revival, because God is going to fill the vacuum. Yes. See, we do our part. God does a supernatural part. There is such a vacuum now in spirituality, and I'm talking about America right now, that there's coming a hurricane. Now, I'm not talking about a hurricane of destruction. I'm talking about a hurricane of breakthroughs. I'm talking about where Jesus said in Matthew 11:12, since the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent are taking it by force. In other words, there's a remnant of believers, having done all, they're still standing, and they're believing for this move of God that's going to shake the foundation of Christendom, and we're going to see men and women, and it's not going to be because we sing their favorite song, or we speak the best message, or they say, oh my gosh, I was entertained. No, it's going to be a move of God that's going to explode and fill the vacuum, and we're going to see revival. I studied John Edwards and the revivals in Europe, and they said that it was at the driest, darkest time. There was bars on every corner. They wanted nothing to do with it. But there was a remnant of believers that were praying and believing God. And when it hit, it annihilated the vacuum. And almost every bar was turned into a church. And they began to worship God. It wasn't a natural thing. It was a supernatural move of God. Amen. If I was asked you right now, how much fire do you have on your nephews and nieces or your kids and so forth, those in that millennial, you're going to say, well, they just go through the motions. They would probably tell you that they love God, but they're being so inundated in college life and stuff that they're not sure. They're double-minded and they're flopping all over the place. I'm telling you, church, we have a responsibility to bind the God of this world, but to keep on keeping on, because there's coming a Holy Ghost outbreaking. It's called a suddenly in the Bible. It was dry as dry can be. Jesus had been crucified. He rose from the dead. He walked amongst many, but not that many. And there was a in the atmosphere. And he rallied 120 remnant Christians in an upper room. And all they did in the midst of all that wasn't going on, continued to worship God. And suddenly, as a mighty rushing wind, a hurricane of revival hit that upper room. And 120 made Jesus Christ their Lord. Then he went out and Peter preaches his best message. It wasn't because he had the right words or whatever. It was still the wave of the hurricane of the Holy Ghost Spirit. And 3,000 gave their life. And then they went and turned the world upside down. That was a suddenly that came in a very low atmospheric pressure. So I'm telling you, we don't have to make it happen. All we got to do is do our part. There's coming a time, what Adam experienced this week, you're all going to begin to experience, because you're going to be one of the remnant that have done all and you're still standing. You're still sharing Jesus, woo-hoo, whatever. And people are going to wonder, oh my gosh, what's happening? And all of a sudden their eyes are going to be open because the God of this world has been blinded and they're going to run to you. Now listen, can you see? Jesus says, who's the only one that gets lifted up? Religion has lifted up man. For way too long. We got to get to this person's meeting or this person. I'm here to tell you, you got the same Holy Ghost that I got. You got the same Holy Ghost as anybody you've got on a pedestal, because they are not your source. Your source is, if you will lift up Jesus, he will draw all men, all women, all kids unto him. The move that we're going to encounter is not going to be a man-made or, oh, get to his meetings or their meetings. I tell the Church of Saginaw, I says, it's not going to be because we have the right preaching mechanism or we sing the right songs at our prayer and praise. It's going to be because God sees our hearts, and it says how beautiful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity in that atmosphere, according to Psalms 133. He commands the blessing. That blessing's a suddenly. Paul and Silas, in the deepest time of their... didn't look like anything's going on. They're in prison even. Oh my gosh, I thought you loved them, God. You let them get in prison. Oh, winds and rain and storms come against us all. And all they did at the darkest time, just worship God. And suddenly it says, the Holy Ghost shows up. And not only the jailer, his whole family made Jesus their Lord. See, I'm believing for your kids too. Amen. The dryness and the low, low spiritual walk that's in our schools, that's in our churches, there's a hurricane coming. Because God's going to fill the absence, the void, with an outpouring that you and I can't muster up. Amen? Are we ready for it? Probably not. His suddenlies are probably not. I caught just a little segment of news yesterday, and it talked about a wave. And the reason what caught me, because it was a wave that said, enough is enough. We've been blinded and hoodwinked too long. And they were standing up to say, we're walking away. My challenge to Christians, some of us need to walk away from some of the junk and the nonsense that's ensnared you. Or you need to get in and seek the word from the living God and get the truth and not go on a half-truth, because a half-truth will snare you and take you out. Do you know how much God loves you? He loves you so much that he wants you to have the whole truth. So, mighty men and women of valor, what's keeping you all out? Or what's keeping one foot in and one foot out? It's time. The trumpets are going to sound. And it's not a trumpet to go to heaven. It's a trumpet of revival. See, I'm not looking for the rapture. I'm looking for people to get set free. Rapture, we're going to go to heaven. I want to see a whole lot more people there with me. Amen? And I know it's not going to be up to me. It's going to be up to us to do our part, but he's got the big part. If he be lifted up, there's coming a prophecy fulfillment of Isaiah 60, Ezekiel 47, and Joel 2 that talks about a deluge of God's outpouring A deluge is you got as much water coming as you can and it's still pouring. That's pouring of the Holy Ghost. It's something that can't be mustered up by man, but we can stand and we can ride in it. And that's what I'm looking for. So it's not by accident. Do you know that now there's a stirring? You start talking. We were down at a wedding. My niece, you heard me say, PK and my niece and worship leader, beautiful church in Kalamazoo, loves God. And there's a remnant of millennials. Man, they're starting to be visible. And at this wedding, they worship. They said, we're going to worship. And they worship, and they did not hold back. And you know who the leaders were? It was the millennials. They were shouting and screaming, high intensity. Didn't matter if anybody danced or whether they shook or whatever. They were high intensity. There is a move, families, and you that are believing for your kids, like I'm believing for my nephews and nieces. I want to see this revisiting fire of God hit. We're going to do everything we know to do, and then suddenly it's going to break out. We probably won't fit everybody in here, but it won't be about fitting in here. We'll believe God for a lot of other churches starting up. Amen? Because when people see themselves as ministers or looking to minister, there'll probably be a breakout of house churches just because, man, every church is full. We've got to have church, so let's get together and get connected. And it'll be amazing. All the things that used to separate us will no longer. Because when Jesus enlightens us, wow, wow, look up, for our salvation is nearer than ever before. Amen? And I challenge all of you that are watching us on Facebook, this is not anything to do with here, but it's there right now. And wherever you, I'm going to challenge you to get connected someplace, get planted in the house of the Lord, stand and continue to bind the forces of darkness, and you stand with it. Be part of that remnant that God's going to use to set the captives free. And all of us in agreement said. Amen. And if you have not made Jesus Christ your Lord, you need to make him Lord. That's number one. Or if you've fallen away, just say, Lord, I'm back. Yeah. And he's already wiped your sins white as snow on the cross. Just hook back up. He hasn't left you. You left him. Yep. Get back connected in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Powerful church, you're going to make a difference, but you're going to have to stand in Jesus' name. So let's stand. Grab a hold of the hand of the person on your left and right. Prayer of agreement this day. We thank God for all that he's done and he's doing in our prison system, but Lord, we thank you. There are a lot of Christians imprisoned on earth in homes this day. Father God, we are coming as a corporate body this morning. We are praying that the God of this world, who has blinded so many of our brothers and sisters from the full truth, we call his powers bound in Jesus' name. And we loose the liberty of the Holy Ghost to flow in this region to set families, homes, households, businesses free in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for every man, woman, and child that makes you Lord of their life today. And today will be the most exciting day of your life. And I encourage them to get connected to a live church that'll keep people and you accountable. And Father, we thank you right now as we are locked in hands. You see how beautiful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I believe there are those today that need a miracle in their body, in their lives. And I'm praying with my brothers and sisters right now for a release of signs and wonders to bring healing, health, and breakthroughs in Jesus' name. And all of us in agreement said, amen. Now, greet your family. Love on the visitors. Let them know you appreciate they were here.